ॐ हरि ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम् ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ऑल ऑफ यू कैन से आफ्टर मी ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिव समारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्कर
मध्यमाम्
अस्मदाचार्य
पर्यन्ताम्
वन्दे
गुरुपरम्पराम्
ॐ सहनाववतु
सहनौ भुनक्तु
सह वीर्यं करवावहै
तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु
मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः
ॐ शान्तिः
द ट्रूथ् आफ् द यूनिवर्स् ईस् अवैलबल् फार् recognition only in one's own mind as the very truth of I, as the very content of I, the knower, the subject of knowledge. Therefore, the very I, the knower, has to be distinguished from the known. And for which we use this method of unfoldment called Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. The method of distinguishing I, the knower, the subject of knowledge, from the known object of knowledge. And anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge. I alone am the knower, the subject of knowledge. With reference to the world, I am the knower. Anything else, everything else other than I, for every individual, is an object of knowledge. Anything known is an object of knowledge. The knower is different from the known object of knowledge. Therefore, the gross physical body tangible, perceptible, is also an object of knowledge. Therefore, I has to be shifted from, the I sense has to be shifted from the physical body. Because physical body, being an object of knowledge, is non-I, non-self. As I told you last class very clearly, there is no physical distance between the knower I and the known body. Even though every individual is a physical body, subtle body, causal body, then the I, the knower, all of them together form the individual. There is no distance between the knower and the known. Therefore, we have to distinguish the knower here very clearly. Definitely, the substance of the substantive I is not the physical body. The physical body comes under the category of the known. Therefore, it is non-I, non-self. The word we use for non-self is anatma. Anything, any object of knowledge is anatma. The physical body also now is included in the category of the anatma as part of the universe. Then we saw subtle body. The subtle body, again, as I told you, you have to remember this very clearly. Subtle body is not like a body, like physical body. Subtle body has no form and it is imperceptible and it does not reflect light like your gross body. Therefore, subtle body, or it is also called astral body, is not photographable. Okay? It cannot be photographed. Why? It cannot reflect light. Because it is subtle, imperceptibly, inexplicably subtle. You can only understand, but it is not something not perceptible. It's available for thought perception. It's available for one's own self. So last class we saw very clearly how five sense powers obtaining in five physical parts called jnana indriyani. Then we saw five subtle powers of organs of actions, karma indriyani. Then we also saw five physiological functions. Then we also saw antahkaranam. Antahkaranam, I said, is a Sanskrit word which means internal instrument of knowledge. The five sense powers are external instruments of knowledge. Antahkaranam, mind, is said to be an internal instrument of internal instrument of knowledge. And as we saw last class, even this antahkaranam, the 16th aspect, all the 16 aspects together constitute the sukshma shariram or subtle body. And the very name subtle body, sukshma, means subtle, which means it is not available for sense perception. You cannot see your seeing power, you cannot see your hearing power, you cannot smell your smelling power, you cannot taste your power of taste, which means they are not available for your sense perception, but they are perceptible, means they are understandable, available for your understanding. Now, you all know that you all have all these powers. None of you here has any doubt about whether you have these subtle powers or not. If you do not have hearing power, you cannot hear. You are able to hear, so you have that power. You are able to see, you have the power. You are able to smell all lots of incense and things, you have power of smelling. You all tasted payasam,
at the most, I think Lawrence, your person is waiting. Because you came late, so Lawrence and some people were present, still waiting. So here, the power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch. So all this now, all of you, how many of you feel very warm now? So all of you are endowed with all these subtle powers. See, you all know, these powers are known to you. Similarly, your powers of sense, organs of actions are also known to you. You are able to sit, at least in the chair, you are able to sit, you are able to walk, you are able to move, you are able to, therefore you know your powers. Similarly, you know your physiological functions. Now, none of you here suffering, suffocated without being able to breathe here, because all your five physiological functions are happening properly. That is why you are able to sit comfortably. They are all known to you. Therefore, your antahkaranam, we saw last class elaborately, but anyway, the more we'll know about the mind later on, we divided the thoughts which constitute the mind into four. As mind, intellect, memory and ego. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. We divided those thoughts into four groups. And there, even though four, when I say the four groups of thoughts means what? Not really groups. It's only for our easy understanding we are classifying them into four groups as manaha, chit, memory, buddhihi, chittam and ahankaraha. Anyway, we saw last class how the emotions come under the category of the manaha, mind, then knowledge, understanding, cognition, perception, enthusiasm, cheerfulness, resolve, all these come under the category of the intellect. They're all thoughts. Then pain, fear, anger, they all come under the category of the mind. We saw all these thoughts are known. Your desire, your anger, your emotion, your understanding, your knowledge, your ignorance, they're all known to you. All of you know what you know. All of you also know what you do not know. Which means your knowledge is known to you. All of you know here that you all know English language. Your knowledge is known to you. All of you here know you do not know Urdu. Which means your ignorance is known to you. Anybody know who knows Urdu? Okay. Which means you are aware of your ignorance, you are aware of your knowledge. Knowledge is also an object of knowledge. Your ignorance is also object of knowledge. Understand? This knowledge which is an object of knowledge is a thought. Vritti jnanam. You know that you know English means you are aware of your knowledge of English. You know you are ignorant of Urdu means you are aware of your ignorance of Urdu, the language. Therefore, ignorance is also an object of knowledge. Knowledge also is object of knowledge. Confusion is object of knowledge. You are very clear in certain areas, certain things you know very clearly. Your clarity is also object of knowledge. Clarity, confusion. Knowledge, ignorance. Fear, fearlessness. Restlessness, calmness. Anger, angerlessness. Desire, desirelessness. All these are thoughts. You know what to remember. Your memory is also object of knowledge. Your forgetfulness, you say, I forgot about it. Your forgetfulness also is a thought modification, is an object of knowledge. All these thoughts are possible only if there is one thought. Know that? If one thought is not there, no other thought is possible. There cannot be anger or desire, knowledge or ignorance, fear, anxiety, clarity, confusion, nothing is possible. Perception, understanding, nothing is possible if there is one thought, if there's not one thought. Now what is a thought? I am. I am is called ahankaraha. The knowledge I am, the knowledge I am is knowledge. The knowledge I am is a thought in whose absence no other thought is possible. Therefore, this knowledge I am is always understood to be the dead end of the mind. Don't go and search for the end of the mind. It's something you have to understand. Why do you call the knowledge I am as the dead end of the mind? If the knowledge I am is not there, no other thought will be there. Something very important for you to remember. Is it true or not? That is why in deep sleep state there is no knowledge I am. I talked to you last class about these three states of experience. Deep sleep state is a state of the mind, condition of the mind, when the mind is totally passive. Mind is functionless. Mind is non-functional, totally passive. Mind is present in deep sleep state, but mind is non-functional. Non-functional means what? All the thoughts remain resolved. All the thoughts do not disappear and go away somewhere. They are resolved. When all the thoughts resolved, therefore mind is blank. Mind being blank means mind having the thoughts resolved. There is no knowledge I am in deep sleep state. Is there anybody who has that knowledge in deep sleep state? Put up your hands. If anybody has that knowledge, I am in deep sleep state, which means you are not sleeping. Okay? There is no sleep. The knowledge I am is a thought, which thought resolves in deep sleep state. That is why in sleep we do not know we are. I do not know I am. Every one of us can say in sleep, I do not know I am. You all can say you do not know you are in deep sleep state. Therefore, no other thought is there. Not only you do not know you are, you do not know the world exists in sleep. When you are in sleep, you do not know the world exists. Therefore, the knowledge I am is not there in deep sleep state. The knowledge universe is also is not there in deep sleep state. Therefore, there is no other thought. There is no pain, nothing to cause pain to you. There is nothing, you yourself are not there. Which means what? You are there not knowing you are. You are there not knowing the world is. Therefore, there is no desire, there is no anger, there is no jealousy, there is no hatred, there is no anxiety, there is no pain, there is no pleasure. There is nothing. Nothing means what? Thoughts are resolved. You alone are in deep sleep state. Don't say nothing is there. Nothing is there means the world is not, the knowledge that the world is not there. Therefore, anger, desire, all the emotions are not there. The knowledge I am is also not there. Without the knowledge I am in deep sleep state. Without the knowledge the world is, I am in deep sleep state. So what is there in deep sleep state? You should not ask in between. You alone are in sleep. You are in sleep. You are in sleep. How do you know you are in sleep? When you wake up. That's why deep sleep state means all the thoughts are resolved. Mind is non-functional, passive. All of us love sleep. No, we all love, why? We all love sleep. Don't love now, okay? Keep awake. All of us love sleep. Even children get cranky when they are disturbed, when they are fast asleep. All of us will be get irritated when somebody, 2 o'clock in the midnight, 3 o'clock when you're fast asleep, somebody wakes up, we get irritated because we all love, there's sukham in sleep. There's some comfort in sleep. You know why? You are free from the notion. You are free from all the wrong notions about yourself in sleep. Now, what is the greatest comfort? Being free from all the wrong notions about the self is real luxury. There's no greater luxury than being free from all the wrong notions we have about the self. In sleep, we do not, even though it's a temporarily, for a short time, you all have that luxury. You taste the luxury, like payasam. I don't give big payasam. I give you one spoon of payasam. It's like tasting. You taste what moksha is. Unfortunately, you do not know you are. You are free in sleep. You are free in waking also. But you do not know you are free in sleep. Understand? Why? Because you do not even know you are in sleep. Therefore, you cannot know you are free. For you to know you are free, you should know you are first. If you do not even know you are, how can you know how you are, what you are? Important lesson. Is it clear? For you to be able to know what you are actually, how you are actually, you should first of all know you are. Unfortunately, in sleep you are, but you do not know you are. Therefore, you cannot know how you are, what you are, but you are. Even though you might think I'm repeating too many times, it is mainly for you to really understand correctly things. Now, on waking up from sleep, you know you are. So, in waking state, mind is diagonally opposite state of mind. Mind is totally active, very active. In deep sleep state, totally passive mind. In waking state, fully active mind. In waking state, fully functional mind. In deep sleep state, fully non-functional mind. All the thoughts are there in waking state. All the thoughts are resolved in deep sleep state. The thoughts are functioning along with the sense organs in waking state. In deep sleep state, thoughts are resolved. Therefore, thoughts do not back up the sense organs. Therefore, even all your 10 sense powers are also resolved. You have to really understand this very clearly. all 10 powers, subtle powers, why we are not walking, jumping, eating, drinking in deep sleep state and leave the somnambulist. Okay, the sleepwalkers you have to leave. That's a disease. The healthy, normal, healthy person who is fast asleep does not, maybe you can speak to yourself, sometimes you blabber. That's all dream. But in deep sleep state, the body is lying like a dead body. Body is as good as dead in sleep, even though it is alive. Why? The physiological functions alone are happening constantly. But all the 10 of the 15, mind is non-functional, totally 16. The five physiological functions are very active always. They should not stop. You know that very well, no? Physiological functions alone are happening day, night, always. They should not stop. If it stops, what will happen? You all know. Physiological functions stop functioning means what? Then you will never wake up. Others will phone, start phoning other people. Okay? Therefore, then not even doctors will not be called. Only crematorium has to be booked afterwards. Therefore, physiological functions are happening continuously. But in what happens? In deep sleep state, rest of the 11 are non-functional. 5 sense powers are non-functional. 5 powers of organs of actions are non-functional. Mind is non-functional. 11 subtle aspects are non-functional, present but non-functional. How do we know? That is why you do not see, hear, smell, taste or touch in deep sleep state. Somebody has to come and wake you up like this. Then you will wake up. That's a different thing. Being woken up is different. Okay? When you're fast asleep, the sense powers do not function. So also, you don't get up and walk and run also. No action. No physical activity. No knowledge. And there's no knowledge I am. There's no knowledge the world is. There's no knowledge happens. If knowledge does not happen, does not rise, there's no knowledge. Therefore, no thoughts. Thoughts are resolved. No thoughts means, when I say no thoughts in deep sleep state, means thoughts are resolved. Whereas in waking, all the thoughts are out, therefore all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, they're all backed by the thoughts. All of them are functioning. Therefore, you're physically very active. You move around. Physically also you become active only when your powers of organs of actions are functional. And also sense powers are all functional. It is the big difference, isn't it? But in waking, you know you are. There is knowledge that you are. There is knowledge that the world is for you. Therefore, all other thoughts are there. And then all the notions you have about yourself are also there. Therefore, naturally, there is pain and pleasure, emotions are also there. In sleep, you do not know you are. There is no knowledge that you are. There is no knowledge that the world is. Therefore, when there is no knowledge that you are, how can you have the notions about yourself? For you to entertain any notion about yourself, what you are, you must be there, no? You must know that you are. all the notions, you do not have any notions about anybody, about you, because you yourself, the notions about yourself are not there. Why? Because the very knowledge that you are is not there. Is it clear? Therefore, temporarily, ahankara is resolved. In sleep, we all have sukham because you are free from all the wrong notions you entertain about yourself. Because you do not even know you are, therefore you cannot have any notion about yourself in sleep. Therefore, wrong notions means what? You are free from the notion that I am small, I am insignificant, I am inadequate, I am unhappy. All these notions are not there. Wrong notions are not there. So temporarily, when you get your wrong notions resolved, you are free. That's why we all love sleep. Okay, now we understand here. So this is why, and in between we have dream state of the mind. What is this dream? In dream, mind is neither totally functional nor is totally non-functional, but mind is semi-functional, half-functional. Ardhavikasaha. Purna vikasaha in waking and ardha vikasaha in dream, half awake. Mind is half awake. Half awake means what? The thoughts are there in dream, but the thoughts, mind does not function along with sense powers and powers of organs of actions. When the mind functions along with the thoughts, back up the sense powers and powers of organs of actions, then it will be waking state. But in dream state, mind is half awake, half functional, but it functions by itself without associating itself with the other 10 powers. Therefore, whatever you have knowledge, you have accumulated, acquired, gathered during the waking state, through your waking state perception. The whole day when you are awake, you have, you acquire experiences, you perceive, and your perceptions, what all you perceive, and those perceptions leave subtle impressions in subtle thought forms, and those thoughts which remain in your subconscious, and they get projected. That is why you can never dream something which you have not known or heard before. You can always dream of things which you already know. You have to be very clear. You can never dream something which is totally 100% completely unknown to you. You must have experienced some time or the other. Even in my experience in previous lives also. You can only dream of things which you have experienced before. When, where, how, you may not remember. You need not remember also. But whatever you dream of the objects known to you, already experienced, which are therefore, the dream is nothing but projection of the already accumulated experiences remaining in a subtle subconscious mind in subtle form. Those thoughts are projected and there is a dream universe. You have dream experience. And in the dream, you have your own dream individual body. You have dream time, dream space, and dream living things, dream non-living things, dream individual your dream individuality, you have the dream world external to you, everything is dream. And then as long as you are in dream, the dream is very real also to you. When you are in dream, the working world does not even exist for you. You do not know what is in dream. You have dream sleep and dream and dream pains and pleasures. There are also dream enemies and dream friends and dream parties and dream cocktails and dream pubs and dream. Everything dream. Once you wake up from sleep, you understand your experience being dream. Is it clear? Which means there is no fourth state of experience. All of us have only three states of experience, and each state of experience is nothing but each state of the mind. Mind is nothing but experiences put together. And but these experiences are what? Not continuous there. They're all discontinuous. And they're all not, you know, they're all mutually exclusive also. And they are very variable. Each state varies from the other. Therefore, in this variable states of the mind, variable states of experience, and there is an experiencer invariably present, that invariable experiencer obtaining in all the variable, discontinuous, mutually exclusive states of experience is one and the same. That experiencer is I. I, what is that now? I actually is the experiencer. I, the experiencer, is different from each experience, the state of mind, deep sleep state of mind is known, experienced. The experience, isn't it? How do you know deep sleep state is known? That deep sleep state of experience is experienced. How do you know? Because you're able to talk about it when you wake up. How well you slept. How non-disturbing the sleep was. How comfortable, comforting the sleep was. You're able to talk about your sleep. And you also say, my God, I slept like a log of wood. I did not even know I was. I did not even know I was. I did not know where I was, how I was. I did not know anything. You all say that. Which means you had a very good, sound, deep sleep state. Which means that experience, how can you talk about it if you did not have the experience? You had the experience, there was experience, and that experience got, no, you remembered the experience, you are able to recollect that experience, you are able to talk about the experience. You are able to talk about the experience in waking state because you are able to recollect. In the waking state. Understand? So memory, without the memory, you cannot talk about something. You cannot recollect it. Memory is not possible without the experience. Understand? Which means there is an experiencer. Who is the experiencer other than you? You are the experiencer who has this experience. Understand now? Because you are very much there. Similarly, the dream state also is experience, and there you are able to recollect and narrate the whole dream story. Sometimes even if the vague you are not, it's very vague also, you are able to recollect and say that the dream is not very clear, not vivid, but dream is vague. Which means there is your experience. Who is the experiencer? You are the experiencer. Similarly, in waking from, once you wake up from sleep, until you fall asleep, you do not know when exactly you fall asleep. Nobody can ever say exact time of one falling asleep. Can anybody say here? You can say what time you go to bed. You can say how drowsy, dozy you felt. What time? But exactly I fell asleep. Who can say? Nobody can say. But when you fall asleep, you do not know you are. That is why you can never tell your time. You wake up and say, what time you wake up, you can say. Therefore, the experiencer is none other than, who is this experiencer? That you are that experiencer means, the experiencer is different from mind, the state of experience. The experiencer is different from the objects of experience, the physical body, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions. I told you in waking state, you talk about all these thoughts, all objects of knowledge, I said. Now I see the mind as very state of experience. All the waking state, all the thoughts are known. In dream, the dream is known. Dream state of mind is known. Deep sleep state of the mind also is known, which means three states of experience are also objects of knowledge. And the subject of knowledge, subject of experience is the experiencer, and that experiencer is you, who's distinct from the experience, the state of the mind. Distinct from, they say, all the powers, distinct from the known body means, now you have to shift the eye sense intellectually from the body, from the sense powers, from the powers of organs of actions, from physiological functions, from every thought, from the mind itself, every state of mind, you have to shift the essence. Now you have to ask, my God, I the experiencer am not any of this, which means, what am I? Who am I? Till here, logic helps also. Because knower is different from the known. You use your knowledge. Subject is different from the object. Subject is never the object. Subject, no? Subject never becomes object of knowledge. You know all those things. Now, this is where the scripture comes. Shruti comes and tells you the knower is none other than pure consciousness. The word pure consciousness has another synonym, pure knowledge. Don't get confused, okay? When I said knowledge is a thought, it is a vritti jnanam. Okay? Thought is different. But pure, better use, that's why we use the word consciousness time being. I'll come to it later on. Pure consciousness. One more word is there, pure awareness. Awareness or consciousness. There is no knower other than awareness, other than consciousness. Therefore, next step is what? You have to say, the knower is consciousness. I is I am, I is, I use, okay? But please understand this. I, the first person singular pronoun, I, is the knower. Knower is consciousness. Therefore, I is consciousness. Which means, I, the self, am the consciousness. When we use this word knower, we should understand knowing is not an action. When we say eater, eating is an action. When we say runner, running is an action. When we say player, playing is an action. Whereas when you say knower, knowing is not an action. If you ask me how knowing is not an action, if it is not an action, what is it then? Better learn the most appropriate Sanskrit word, swarupam. In English language, I can say nature. But still, I prefer the word swarupam. Knowing is the very nature, very swarupam of consciousness, I, the consciousness. Now, there should not be any doubt at this level. You have to understand a lot of things. What should be clear at this stage is, there is no substance other than consciousness for the substantive I. It must be very clear. How clear it should be? When I use the substantive wave, wave is a substantive, and you all know very well, wave is a name of a form which cannot have existence independently without the substance called water, the H2O. Therefore, water is the substance, actual substance, which alone has substantiality. So, substance of the substantive wave is water. Similarly, there's no doubt. Similarly, the substance of the substantive I is consciousness or pure awareness. In Swamiji's words, if we squeeze the wave, you cannot do it physically. If you squeeze the wave, what will come out of wave? Content of wave is what? Water. If you squeeze the eye, what will come out of it? Consciousness. Physical squeezing is not possible. Okay? You have to cognitive squeezing. It's intellectual squeezing. Therefore, now we say, this consciousness is the substance of the substantive I, which is not part, understand, next step. This consciousness is not a part of this body, mind, sense complex, the object of knowledge. Consciousness is not a property of this known body, mind, sense complex. It is not the product of the body, mind, sense complex. At the same time, it is not part, it is not the product, it is not the property, But the consciousness is an independent entity which pervades the entire body, mind, sense complex and lends life by its mere presence to this body, mind, sense complex. Lends existence to the body, mind, sense complex. Enlivens this body, mind, sense complex. At the same time, untouched by the body, mind, sense complex, can wave, touch the water. No. It need not touch. It cannot touch. Understand? Similarly, consciousness is not tainted by any of this. At the same time, consciousness is not limited by the peripheries of this body, mind, sense complex. It goes beyond the body, mind, sense complex, which means consciousness not only pervades this body, mind, sense complex, consciousness pervades everything else here. Just as water is distinct from the name and form wave, at the same time, water goes beyond that one wave, name and form wave, means it pervades all the waves. Similarly here, consciousness pervades everything here. Everything means what? Consciousness is the very substance of the substantive universe. Like water is the only substance of the substantive ocean. Water is the only substance of the substantive wave. Similarly, the only substance of the substantive individual, I, the body, the mind, the senses, the physiological functions, the only substance of the entire universe. There is no second substance other than consciousness. Therefore, consciousness, it goes beyond, means it is not limited by the peripheries of the body, mind, sense complex. And what happens? But the one day the body dies. The body, from the day one, the body has been growing. It was a tiny little few pounds and became kilos and a huge occupying. No, that is what happened to consciousness? No. Consciousness, whatever is there, it is pervades, okay? Small pervades, big pervades, bigger pervades. Consciousness, because in consciousness everything exists. Therefore, doesn't matter small or big, consciousness pervades everything. When it's small also, it is pervaded. Big growing also, big also is pervaded. And one day, asti, jayate, vardhate, vipranamate, apakshiyate, nashyate, one day body falls. One kicking one's own bucket. When the body falls, body dies, something nobody likes this. Death happens. What happens to consciousness? Even after the body is cremated and burnt into ash, reduced to ashes, consciousness continues to survive. The substance of substantive, I, the consciousness, continues to survive even after the body falls. Body is reduced to minerals and ashes. We have to remember, this consciousness which survives after the body is destroyed is not available for any transaction. Not available for any transaction. Therefore, it is not accessible. Therefore, what do we conclude? unless something is available for transaction, we immediately conclude it is non-existent. Is it clear? So not being available for transaction, not being accessible, should not be mistaken for non-existence. Non-accessibility, non-recognizability, or non-interactability should not be mistaken for non-existence. Why it is not available for transaction? That's a different thing. That's another lesson, okay? Next lesson. This much is enough for this class. Therefore, consciousness continues to survive. So, what are you now? What are you? Before, you must have been saying, I am a body endowed with consciousness. Now you have to say, I am consciousness incidentally endowed with body, mind, sense complex. Big difference. And I was telling, knower when you say, knower is consciousness when you say. Therefore, I am the knower, I am consciousness. The knowing is not an action, I said. And if it is not an action, I said it is a swarupam. How do you understand? I think last class I explained to you. I gave the example of light. Illuminator is the term we use. When we say illuminator, here is the light. Why do we say illuminator, here is the light? Because all our opaque physical forms and colors and objects here are shining. They're all illumined because there is illumination. And the illumination is impossible if there is no illuminator. Therefore, we understand there is illuminator. Therefore, there is illumination. Therefore, the objects, opaque things are illumined and therefore they shine. They become evident. Means, and the illuminator is light. When you say, this is an equation. Illuminator is light means, illuminator is equated to light. Why? Because illuminator is a status which is given to the light. Illuminator and the light are not two different entities, different things. Why? Because there is no illuminator really speaking other than the light. The substance of the substantive illuminator is light. Understand? What is the illuminator here? Light. There is no illuminator. Illuminator is only a status which the light has. We attribute to the light from the standpoint of the illumined opaque things. There is just the light in whose presence all the opaque things shine. If the light is turned off or put off, illuminator will disappear. Therefore, illuminator is a state. The status cannot exist independently without the light. Understand? Illuminator is light means you are resolving the status in the very light. Then you arrive at the light. That is the substance. Actual light is the substance. Light is the content of the substantive, the term illuminator. Similarly, when we say knower, there's no content, there's no substance, there's no knower really speaking, there's only consciousness. The knower is only a temporary status which is attributed to consciousness. Incidental status. From the standpoint of the known mind, known state of mind, known experience, known sense powers, known powers of organs of actions, known physical body, known external world, this is a temporary status. Knower is a status. Incidental status, from the standpoint of the known world, attributed to consciousness. Really speaking, there is no knower other than consciousness. Now you have to resolve the status, knower status, only in consciousness. Therefore you have to resolve the very I. Where will you, where, is there I? Is there I? Yes. Incidental. I, the knower, is. I, the knower, am. None other than consciousness, like wave is water. But water is not the wave. Water is not the wave. Is it clear? Is water the wave? Water is not the wave. Similarly, consciousness is not I. Consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness, but consciousness is not the knower, not the I. And here, our next step, when you say, when you resolve the illuminator in light, what do you understand here? Illumining is not an action. What does the light do to illumine? Is there any action, any effort, any change, anything? Nothing. Just light is present. Mere presence of the light. Being. It's called being of the light. Existence of the light, presence of the light. Light is opaque things shine, which means illumining is not an action, it is the swarupam. Similarly, I, the consciousness, I, the knower, am the consciousness. I am consciousness. Is therefore three different states of the mind. Mind is of the nature of undergoing changes. Waking state is known. Dream state becomes known. Deep sleep state becomes known. Constantly mind undergoes a change. States of the mind change. Whatever state of mind is, that becomes known. Why? Because there is consciousness. It's like, suppose, now we're all here. You know, you all, the light, now what brings to light all your forms. Now you all go after, now I'm going to conclude the class. You all will go away. The light will illumine. Light, what will the light do? Your presence also light illumines. You all go away. After you move away, your absence also light will illumine. The things are all here. I'm going to remove a visarjanam. It will all be taken away. Presence of objects is illumined by the light. Absence also will be illumined by the light. Does the light do anything else? No. Because illumining is its sorupam. nature by its mere presence. Similarly, mind, thoughts, all the thoughts are there, consciousness knows. Thoughts are all resolved, consciousness knows. All the thoughts know, no, mind is half functional, half awake, does a dream, my consciousness knows. When you say consciousness knows, the reality knows, when I say that, when I say light illumines these objects, she eats, he sleeps, he drinks, light illumines. Illumining is what? It's an action. I use the word light illumines the presence of people here. Light, the same light will illumine the absence of people after you all left. Means, illumining is not an action, it is the swarupam nature. Is it clear? Similarly, if I say consciousness knows, means knowing is not an action, it is the swarupam, very nature. That is how consciousness is. We understand, when I say light, how the light is, you have to understand the substance called light in terms of its nature, the swarupam. What is its nature? That which is of the nature of illumining is the light. Similarly, that which is of the nature of knowing is consciousness. That which is of the nature of being conscious is consciousness. There is no reality other than that consciousness. And therefore, you are consciousness when you say, not only I is consciousness, the any knower in every mind, every one of you is a knower. Every knower, why there are so many knowers here? It looks as though there are many knowers. I am knower, she is a knower, he is a knower. Every one of us can claim that I am a knower, I am a knower, I am the knower. Which means, are there many knowers? Are there many knowers? No. There seems to be many knowers because of the many known. The knower is one and the only consciousness. Because so many opaque things are illumined, who is the illuminator of this? There is illuminator with reference to this illumined. There is an illuminator with reference to this. There is an illuminator with reference to this color, that color. There are so many objects illumined. Are there many illuminators? Illumined are many. Therefore, we have to say illuminator of mic, illuminator of flowers, illuminator of pink color, illuminator of purple color, illuminator of yellow color, illuminator of books, illuminator of pictures, illuminator of walls, illuminator of people, illuminator of Roger G., illuminator of Rodney G., illuminator of Mami, illuminator of Tilaka, illuminator. There are so many illuminators are what? Illumined objects are many. Illuminator is one and the only light. Similarly, the known minds are many. Illumined minds are many. Illumined states of minds, three states of each mind. Illumined minds are many, illumined bodies are many, illumined sense powers are many, illumined powers of organs of actions are many, illumined physiological functions are many, illumined are many, many, many. many, innumerably countless are the illumined. The illuminator is one, the knower is one, and the only secondless consciousness. Okay? Therefore, from the standpoint of the truth of I, all of us are one. All of us are not equal and the same, but all of us are one. Not all of us, all are one. Even though all are not the same, equal. That is why when, if I eat, you will be hungry. Okay? You should be hungry. If you have money in your account, I cannot spend. Absolutely, we are all one. Not only we are all one. All that is here is only one consciousness. Okay? And we are going to see the nature of consciousness. Why consciousness is implied by the term Brahma. Okay? Now we'll see why these are the terms used by the Shastram. How? Do they indicate or do they imply? If they imply, means why? We'll see next class. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.